This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We call this Hump Day, and we welcome in the guys. We say a very good morning to one Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. Doing well. It's a good morning. How are you guys doing?
I am also doing well. Weather not what we would hope for as we hit our stride in the summer, but we'll get to that a little bit later on today. Rick, I never know how you're going to be doing, especially on a hump day, but how are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean,
really?
You kind of bummed me out yesterday. Well, you bummed me out yesterday with your weather report. Kind of ruined the day for me. I had the pool.
Well, what do you want me to do, not give you the honest assessment of the weather?
No, sometimes. Listen, you heard it in some of the promos. Honesty isn't always the best policy. You could lie to me a little bit, but you did.
So
you told
me
the
just
truth.
Tell you, beautiful day. Go. You know, find a beach that has nobody on it and just, you know, lie out there for the day.
No, you can't do that, Dave.
No.
Lee Goldberg would never do that.
And I would never do that.
Desperate times, Dave. Desperate times. We're in the midst of a pandemic. I've been in my house for 4 months. Lie to me, baby. So I decided to cheer myself up. I had breakfast for dinner last night. I had pancakes for dinner.
I love that.
Oh, what a
breakfast
night.
For dinner is one of the great inventions ever made by man.
It was, I mean, on the list of great calls that I've made in the recent, you know, recent couple weeks, this could be number one on the list. What, I mean, just from
well,
top
where
to
else
bottom.
Did you go? Just pancakes, or was there more to it?
Oh, some bacon. In honor of Chris Canty, I had some bacon. Crispy bacon, peanut butter and jelly pancakes. I had some.
Any eggs involved?
No eggs. No, I had eggs in the morning. Eggs are the breakfast. You know this. Me and you, eggs every morning. And decided to go just trio of pancakes and some bacon. Oh, just fantastic.
Rick, I'm never one to turn my nose up at the bacon, but if I'm going to go with the breakfast for dinner concept, I almost feel like I would be better served going chicken and waffles as opposed to pancakes and bacon.
Interesting you bring that up. Because Milo absolutely loves chicken and waffles.
Does he really?
Here's the issue, though. Dude, that's his favorite
thing. That's my nephew. I'm so proud. I'm having a proud moment right now. Proud.
Like, if it was just up to him and you say, hey, Milo, what do you want? I mean, that's
chicken.
There's three things, go-tos. Chicken and waffles is one of those go-tos. So he was disappointed. But we had waffles on Sunday, and I didn't want to go to the grocery store to get chicken. Bad on me. It was kind of spur of the moment. We had stuff for pancakes, so we just went pancakes with the bacon.
Gotcha. Do you find that you typically go to bed a little earlier when you have breakfast for dinner?
I did carbo load. Remember that carbo load, and you had the Yankees on. So I'm just put those in the back of your mind.
Look at you fishing, Dave Rothenberg.
It's a big day. I mean, my commanding lead went right out the window yesterday, and now it's 1-1 in the week. So
it's pivotal game three, right?
Now today is important. Yes, today very very important.
It's a pivotal hump day. It's what people want, Dave.
I know. What very big day for us. I mean, we have all the normal things and pieces of the show that we pull out, right? We got Andy from Merrick. By the way, can we spend a minute on my performance on Last One Standing?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I texted you right away.
You did.
The poise. And you know what I like? You're a showman. Here's what people need to understand. We got these microphones 3 hours a day, right? It's not just, hey, you know, let's give you the sports news and everything else. This job is you got to be an entertainer. And what you did yesterday, because we all know, I mean, as far as best at the station with trivia, you're the best at the station. But did you play it up yesterday? Hoeing and humming. You know those questions. The second they answered the question, they asked the question. You knew the answer, but you played it like, oh, I don't know. This is kind of tough. I loved it. Every second of it.
I appreciate that. The one question was hard. The Cedric Maxwell question was not an easy question.
No, it wasn't. And you definitely, I mean, you sold it. Like you, I mean, people.
Well,
by
I had
the time
to, I
you
had
answered
to
it,
really think for that one. That was legitimate. That was not I have it. I'm going to play around with it. That took a few minutes. Who was the final? I guess it was the Celtics won three championships in the 80s. Who was the MVP besides Larry Bird? And that was not an easy question. And then Don got this baby question that round.
Yeah, he got the Yankees.
Oh
my
God!
The final out. Yeah, that was. I mean, that's a layup. But that's the best was too. It was. You criticizing Rosenberg without blatantly criticizing Rosenberg, you're like, what? You don't already have these questions? These questions aren't already done? You don't have Dave questions and Don questions?
Well, wouldn't you think that they would? That they would have the questions assigned to the different participant?
Well, on every level, yeah. I mean, it should be like, okay, this
right,
is the level one
point question is locked for each guy. The 2-point question, you know, all the way up to say the 5-point question, and then you go to who am I?
Exactly. I mean, that's what you would figure.
That's what I would have figured. But anyhow, it was close. I was actually anxious because it came down to who am I? And, I mean, it was David Wright. So we were able to hit that out of the park and get the win.
Now, see, what happens sometime in that game, because, you know, Chris and I always watch the K show. Sometimes in that game, if you're not careful, when you watch K and Don do it, is if you prematurely answer, you could accidentally spark your competitor's, you know, mind to put them in the right direction. And you just waited it out.
I said nothing.
And then, boom. I couldn't even hear a breath. It was like you just went, laid out completely.
I was focused. And I don't know, when he said to the One World Series, I was like, I think it's David Wright. I went with David Wright and I did it. So, I mean, it was good for me. It was good for us. It represented our show well. I was very pleased with the...
And you got the invite back for the Friday.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It's almost like you just sat there with the Google Gib next to you, kept the tennis ball in his mouth until the very last second, and then you popped it out, and he, boom, David Wright.
How would you possibly use a Google Gimp for Who Am I?
Who knows? I mean, if just for example, like if I was the one living in your closet in your basement as the Google Gimp in the latex suit, and you know one of my greatest skills is you know, hacking computers and everything else.
Right, which we know we do, yes.
I could be running algorithms. Like every clue I could be putting into my database and had names popping up.
I guess in theory you could. I would probably think there'd be a better way to spend your time than to be Googling trivia questions on an afternoon drive show in New York City. But I guess it's possible, right? Wow. Like you could be, what was the movie where Office Space, where they figured out a way to, like, you know, round every dollar up, and they got like 2 cents for all those millions of dollars, and the bank account was flooded with money. Like, that's the way I would hope you would spend your time. Not Googling trivia questions on an afternoon drive show.
That's my stapler.
Good with that movie.
Listen, if we continue with no sports, I may actually decide that being your Google Gimp locked in your basement may be the best way to go.
We have weights.
You have a home gym?
We have a home gym. We have a lacrosse goal. We have a soccer goal. We have a ping pong table. We have an air hockey table.
Can you imagine Ben and Alex come downstairs and like, Dad, there's some guy in a latex suit doing bench press.
In a very strange bathing suit in the basement on roller skates. Who do you think?
There's a guy with assless chaps and rollerblades doing push-ups.
For some reason, I envision Rick working out in an outfit like the Global Gym guys from Dodgeball. I don't understand why. I just have that vision of him when he works out at the gym.
I could not agree with you more.
Yeah, the less clothes, the better. Here's the other thing, too. Things that happen at my house sometimes, like I'm usually an open book, but there are things that happen that I'm like, you know what, I'm going to keep this to myself because it's too embarrassing. I went for the Arnold Schwarzenegger type workout the other day.
What is it?
Where I had some very aggressively tight shorts on, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go bare feet, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, barefoot style. Not paying attention, I swung my foot and ripped the whole, you know, blood everywhere. Just completely ripped.
Yeah, barefoot, barefoot in a weight room or an exercise room is not a good idea.
Oh, it's a terrible idea. Awful.
I don't understand why you decided to go that direction, though. You should know that.
Yeah,
you're
boredom.
A former professional athlete.
Boredom, maybe. I don't know. Is there any reason for me to wake up at 4 a.m. to work out? No. But no,
there really isn't. Now,
zero.
Last night, guys, and let's get right into it. We didn't even get into the baseball schedules yesterday, so we'll do that a little bit today. Gerrit Cole made the start for the Yankees. We'll get into that in just a moment as well. We got Andy Frmerich at his normal 10:50 slot. We've got CMT. We've got observations, and we know what that encompasses. You get the weather within that. By the way, I spoke to, as you'll appreciate this, as I'm on hold getting ready to go on the K show, I'm chatting with their producer, board op, the great RJ Santillo, right? Everybody loves RJ.
Radio Randy's the best.
And he says, I got to tell you, I drive into work during your 12 o'clock hour every day. I could not love the weather coupled with the bedtime, coupled with observations any more than I do. He said it is a sensational segment. So
high praise.
I'd pass that along.
That's high praise from him.
Because Radio Randy is as good as it gets.
What?
He's the best. I mean, he is. I mean, as far as how much, like, I know I consume a lot, and Canty and Dave, you both consume, like, Radio Randy, he is, like, he knows exactly what's going on all over the place. So for him to give us a compliment is huge.
It's like
when
me,
Mini Jimmy Garoppolo,
the janitor,
gives you a compliment,
a homeless guy.
That's huge.
He is Mini Jimmy G.
Oh, absolutely.
If Jimmy G, remember back in the day when they had, like, in professional wrestling, they had the wrestler and they had the mini version of the wrestler. If Jimmy G needed, like, a mini version of himself. Yeah, like it would be Radio Randy.
Yeah, like if he needed a fall guy, like the Chris Carter fall guy, RJ Santillo. right there for the
standing in the movie, right?
You could actually have a sick.
And he's a 49ers fan. Of course, he'd be first in line to do that.
You could actually have a sick wrestling match too. You could have it could be a K-Show wrestling match. You could have Jimmy G and RJ, and then you could have Bam Bam Bigelow, and then Peter Rosenberg being mini Bam Bam Bigelow.
Who Lawrence Taylor beat back in the day, by the way.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious, Rigo. That's hilarious. Because I can see it.
Oh, very mini Bam Bam, though. I believe, sadly enough, it's the late Bam Bam Bigelow now, right?
And then you could have Jimmy G. You could actually have Jimmy G spinning Rosenberg on his head in the middle of the ring. It'd be hilarious. We should get that done. Beach Bash next year.
Yeah, let's get that done. All right, let's jump off with the Yankees and Gerrit Cole. Canty, you had to feel pretty good about Gerrit Cole last night, I'd imagine. He outside of the one blip to Andujar, he looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, money well spent. I mean, the at-bat with Andujar, that was early on, Dave, and Andujar jumped him and went opposite field. That was a good sign for me because you like to see that Andujar has recovered and that he's a viable option in terms of being a presence with his bat in the lineup. But as far as what Gerrit Cole did, man, I mean, he's as advertised, Dave. I mean, this is a guy that I'm penciling into, you know, 9 wins of the 13 or so starts that he's going to get with this upcoming season. Like, 9 out of the 13 times that he takes the mound for the Yankees, I absolutely expect the Yankees to win. And it might be more than that, but that's at a bare minimum.
It's so funny you say that, though. He could win 9 games this season.
No, but you know.
No, I know. I know. It's right. It's true. It's just funny to think that a really good season this year would be, you know, winning 9 games. But it would be a great season.
Well, I mean, in a normal season, you'd be talking about, what, 24, 25? So, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm expecting from him. And you're going to need every single one of those wins because this is going to be a closely contested race, especially with the East going up against each other. This is going to be tough because you're talking about some of the best teams in baseball, especially with the National League competition. So, to me, what Gerrit Cole did last night, you feel really good about it. He said he wanted to improve on his fastball command, but he had all 4 pitches working. He felt good about his location. And the fact that he asked Aaron Boone for a 5th inning and he was able to go out there and produce the way that he did, like, that's the part about it that makes me feel good. Now, he also said that if this were compared to his spring training and where he's at in his progression and getting ready for the season, that he would be somewhere in the second half, but closer to the middle than the end. But I just feel like we've got a couple of weeks to get everything worked out. But as far as what I saw, my expectations for him from opening day are going to be that he is going to be a dominant pitcher like we saw down in Houston last year.
He's the definition of an ace.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I mean, it's just like watching Jacob deGrom, right? Like, even if he gets into a bit of a jam in the first inning or the second inning, gives up a home run or whatever it is, it seems like he all of a sudden just settles in and he gets better as the game progresses. I thought the best thing, and we kind of talked about this yesterday, was it looks like the, you know, pitches are a little bit further along than anyone expected under the circumstances, that he threw 67 pitches.
Yep.
Like, he'll be ready to go. Yeah, I mean, he's going to, like, that first start against the Washington Nationals, you give him the ball. And the other thing I liked is, I mean, the definition of a true ace, too, is, no, we're going to take you up. No. I'll tell you when you're going to take me out. Which I loved, which I think is great. That was one of the things that I'm sure it drives you as a Yankees fan crazy sometimes, is when you're watching your starting pitcher, you feel like he's supposed to be, you know, one of your guys, your ace, and then he gets into a bit of a jam, and then all comes Aaron Boone, and he's out of the game. That's a little frustrating sometimes. Like, yeah, give the guy the opportunity to get out of it.
I don't worry about him at all. I mean,
at all.
I don't think there's a ton, to be honest, to worry about with the Yankees. I guess injury might be my biggest concern because the bullpen is terrific. The starting rotation should be good. They have a ton of offense, so I don't worry about any of the actual, you know, pieces. It's the injuries that worry me. But as far as what I would worry about if I did have to, Cole would be last on the list. Like, he's a horse. He's got great stuff. He wants the ball. He's not afraid of the big moment. I mean, I don't even think there's anything to be concerned about with him, to be honest with you.
I think especially because the big question for most, you know, most free agents that come to the Yankees, and it seems like, you know, a lot of that has to do with, you know, most of the time it seems like sometimes that's, you know, starting pitchers. You saw it with Sonny Gray is, you know, how do they deal with being in New York? I mean, it's almost to his benefit that there's going to be no fans in seats. So there won't be nearly as much pressure as there would be in a regular season to go out and prove himself, which is probably to his benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Not as to his benefit, Rick, but the one thing that you also have to be concerned with anytime you have a player changing teams, just being in a different environment and just, you know, just getting used to everything, your normal routine. Things are different than the way that they were in the previous season. So you just wonder how that could affect a player's, you know, mental state, especially when you consider what we're dealing with the coronavirus and all the protocols that baseball is putting in place. Like, you heard Gerrit Cole talking about how they joked about whether or not they were supposed to use the baseball after the Talkman at-bat. So, I mean, that's just one of those things that you just never know how players are going to adjust. And so with Gerrit Cole, with so much of your season depending on his performance, like, you just wonder how it's going to affect him. But based on his performance last night, I don't think that there's going to be much to be concerned about right there. Like, I wasn't overly concerned about it going into last night, but based on what I saw, I'm even less concerned than I would have been previously.
I have no concerns. Like none. Rick, do you have any concerns about Gerrit Cole? Same way I don't have any concerns about Jacob deGrom. It's just I assume that every start, that guy's going to be very good.
Yeah, every time he gets the ball, he's going to be the best chance to win that game.
Even when they're not good, they're good.
No, they talked about that last night. I mean, during the course of a regular season, you make, 33 starts or whatever it ends up being. I mean, they're going to be, 10 where you're great. There'll be, 10 where you feel like you're average, and then there'll be 10 where you have nothing. And it's how you get through those average ones and the ones where you don't really have your best stuff, which separates, an ace from just another guy in your rotation. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, period.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky in here. I mean, to say we're lucky in New York is probably an understatement. We got, the best pitcher in baseball, back-to-back Cy Youngs, and then
I love that, I don't disagree with you, but I love how you always dig that in. I'm a big fan of that.
Oh, it's the truth. I mean, I believe it
as well.
Well, how can you not believe it? The guy went back-to-back Cy Youngs.
I think he's going to three-peat this year too, by the way.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think the biggest question for the Yankees, and it's not, this is rich people problems, is, what do you do with Miguel Andujar? I mean, where does he play? You got to do something. I want that bad in the lineup.
Yeah, he's got to find a way to play. Like, I don't think that's even a question. Like, you have to find a way to get him at bats because he's too valuable in that lineup, man. I mean, the guy is a walking extra base hit. I mean, the guy is going to put the ball in play. He's going to put together good at bats, but I mean, you're going to get doubles. You're going to get homers. Like, I don't understand how you couldn't prioritize finding a way to get his bat in the lineup.
So where do you want to play him?
Well, Dave, I think that's why they're experimenting with him potentially being out in the outfield.
He actually looked pretty good in left field. The play I saw him making left field, he looked pretty good.
But that's what I'm saying. If you don't want to have Stanton out there one day in the field, then you potentially change him out and you put Andujar out there. Or I don't know. However you got to figure it out, they got to figure it out. That's why I think they're tinkering with different positions. But you got to find a way to be able to put him in the lineup. That has to happen.
I mean, they really have to say they have a glut of riches is probably an understatement.
Oh, they're so talented.
I mean, even just talking about left field, where does Brett Gardner play now all of a sudden? Now you got to take him out of the lineup?
I mean, you're going to have really an everyday player on a decent baseball team that may not play at all for the Yankees this year.
Yes.
We're talking about Clint Frazier or Brett Gardner or Miguel Andujar, like good players that would start on most teams that probably won't get a lot of at-bats on the Yankees this year.
Yeah, the Yankees are sitting here trying to make decisions about legitimate left fielders, where the Mets' decision is, do we put Dom Smith in left field? You know what I mean? Like, they have, Clint Frazier can play left. You got Stanton can play left. You got Brett Gardner that can play left. It looks like that Miguel Andujar is going to be a pretty decent left fielder. Miguel Andujar probably can play first base, too. I mean, that lineup you saw last night.
I would think about finding him as a first baseman for the future.
It would make sense. I mean, Voit's obviously the incumbent. But then, that lineup you saw, that's a deep lineup, period. That's without DJ LeMahieu in it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you add him into that lineup? I mean, good luck. That team stays healthy, it's going to be scary.
If that team stays healthy, I think they're the best team in baseball, no?
If they stay healthy, they're the best team in the American League.
Well, I don't even think that's all that close, to be honest.
The team that, as far as baseball is concerned, you got the Dodgers.
I know the Dodgers are really good, but I just think the Yankees are...
Do me a favor. No, just please do me a favor, and you may be right, but I was watching whatever I was watching. It might have been MLB Network, whatever it is. They put up the graphic of the Dodgers lineup. Just take a quick peek at what that Dodgers lineup looks like.
No, and bring it up here
in the depth of that lineup. Yeah.
And they have a lot of young players in that organization too.
Yep,
like the Gavin Luxes and the Will Smiths of the world. Yeah,
that team is loaded too. So I mean,
that'd
I think
be good
the Yankees
for baseball,
bullpen,
huh? We get to October.
That would be
we get Yankees Dodgers World Series.
Oh my gosh! Oh, my gosh.
And that's what they wanted anyway.
That's what baseball wants, yes.
How good would that be?
That's ideal.
And then you won't have people's, I don't think you'll have people saying, well, it was a 60-game season. Like, you get Yankees, Dodgers, World Series, you go coast to coast. That'd be great for baseball.
That would be the best. The best outcome from baseball would be to have a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. Correct. Yankees-Mets would be nice. The Yankees-Mets would be nice, too.
That'd be very stressful.
Stop it. Would you please? You find a way to get through it. It can't be any more stressful than what we've been dealing with for the last couple months. You get through it, all right?
You
find a way.
Yankees-Mets World Series. Come on, Chris. You'd be a mess.
Yeah, I'd be nervous, Dave. I'm not gonna kid you, but I'd be excited about it. I'd be excited about the first step on the dynastic run that Brian Cashman promised us a couple of years ago. So yeah, I'd be absolutely excited.
But I also told
you guys how I felt about this year. Even if the Yankees do win a championship, it's not gonna feel like the other 27.
You say that now.
So
if the Yankees beat the Mets in the World Series, I think you'd feel sensational.
No, I feel good, Dave. I'm not going to say I don't feel good, but it's not going to feel like the other championships. I mean, you're not going through the grind of a 162-game regular season, which makes it different. I think the degree of difficulty is a lot higher under those circumstances than under the current circumstances, even in the midst of a pandemic.
So bougie. This is why Mets fans
can't stand you. You're spitting out
a championship.
I'm not spitting on a championship. Did I say I wasn't going to be excited? Did I say that? Or did I say I'm not going to be as excited as the early 2000s, late 90s? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so you're fortunate enough that you know what championships feel like.
Exactly.
Not every fan base has that luxury.
I know it's not 162. But under these circumstances, with the protocols and everything else, also due to the fact that you can't afford to have, you know, a bad 10-game stretch, you can't afford to have a lull because it's only 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you end up playing, let's just say it's the Yankees versus the Dodgers in the World Series, I mean, I would have a hard time not being, you know, not looking at this championship the same as the rest.
Okay, and that's fair. I think everybody's going to feel a little bit differently about it. I just think that's coming from my perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like it's a little bit different. This is a completely
different
season. This is a sprint. This is not a marathon. And so, you know, when you start talking about the possibility of wild card teams jumping in there and disrupting, you know, what everybody expected were going to be the teams that will be in the postseason, I just think that this season, because it's such a small sample size, lends itself to something like that happening, where you have a team from a talent standpoint that clearly is not on par with other teams that are considered juggernauts in baseball having a chance to compete.
But doesn't that make it almost more fun in a way?
No, it does. No, it does make it more fun, Dave. It does. No question about it. But I think it also brings into the question the legitimacy of a championship. I mean, if you had a team like, you know, say for, and I don't anticipate something like this happening, but say for instance, the Padres jumping in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, if something like that happened, everybody would just kind of raise an eyebrow and say, I don't know how legit that championship was.
So let me ask you this then. Yankees go, for argument's sake, 30-30. Miss the postseason. Are you livid, or do you just say, you know what, this is just one of those years, I'm not going to be too upset about it?
If the Yankees don't make the postseason, it kind of feels like, yeah, I'm upset. Don't get me wrong. I'm upset. And it's hard to have any kind of comparison to this, but I remember Bill Parcells used to say this about NFL preseason games, like they only matter if you lose. If you win, it's not really something. Like, if the Yankees get into the playoffs, to me, there is no pat on the back for that. Like, that is the expectation. But if you, for some reason, miss the playoffs, I look at that as almost inexcusable based on the glut of riches, the talent that you have on this team.
But it'll be the good team or teams that get off to a slow start and don't make the playoffs whose fan bases try to delegitimize the championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're gonna play it to whatever works for you. If your team wins the title, it's the most legitimate title you've ever seen. And if your team goes 30-30 and misses out in their expectations, well, it's because this season is so bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, there's already built an excuse. for fan bases that built-in excuses for the athletes too. I mean, if it just,
of course,
yeah, but I don't think any Yankees fans care about the built-in excuses.
No, they don't. No, you're right. They don't. But yeah. I mean, there is just in general. I mean, if you're one of the fan, you know, a fan base that wants to, you know, make excuses for why your team didn't win or make the playoffs, you can use these circumstances.
Like if you're a Mets fan.
Reason. Oh yeah, I mean, we're full of excuses. This would be one of them.
We got. I got my laundry list of excuses ready to go. Well, they weren't ready for a DH.
But well, I expect this season. I expect the Mets to fare well this season, based on how everything is set up.
I have no idea.
I do, Dave. I mean, their bullpen has got to be better. You got the DH in the National League now, so it gives Luis Rojas more flexibility in terms of roster construction and how he's going to put together the lineups day in, day out. I just feel like if they were ever going to do it, this would be the year that they would have to do it in, just based on where the franchise is at, based on some of the recent moves that Brody Van Wagenen made. It just feels like if the Mets were ever going to break through and get back into the postseason and compete for a championship, this would be the year to do it.
I love that one of our big talking points when it comes to the Mets, Rick, is the bullpen can't be as bad as it was last year. Like, a positive about the bullpen as well. It was so bad last year that it couldn't possibly be that bad again. And that's a positive.
Well, that's the only way you can look at it. I mean, isn't it?
That's not exactly great.
No, it's not great, but it's the reality. I mean, it sucks, but that was, I mean, what we dealt with last year. The bullpen was awful. I mean, you never trusted any lead. Familia was bad. Diaz was, was a train wreck.
All Lugo, atrocious, yep.
I mean, Lugo was really the only, you know, consistent arm in that bullpen, and you couldn't use him every day. If you get a healthy Betances, it's going to be better.
If you get a healthy Betances, Lugo is pretty much what he was last year, and Diaz is good. I'm not talking about 57 saves, but just good. The bullpen should be really good for the Mets.
Yeah, but there's no pressure to have Diaz as your closer. I mean, you can start off with Diaz. Okay, we're going to assume that you're going to be the closer.
I don't care who the closer is.
And because it's 60 games, if he gets off to, you know, a couple games where he stinks, you're going to go to, I mean, either Lugo or Betances. I would probably say Betances because you want to use, I mean, Lugo's strength as he goes multiple innings. You're going to see, here's the thing that concerns me a little bit, and maybe this is just me being a pessimistic Mets fan to a detriment, is we spent the last couple years talking about how managers in baseball is middle management. It's the GM, it's analytics and everything else. You're going to need a good manager this season.
I agree.
You're going to need it. I mean, with what you do in the 10th inning, are you pinch running? What are you going to do with your pitchers now that they got to face the 3-batter minimum? I mean, there's going to be a lot more decisions that have to be made this year than... And the other thing, too, is knowing your players, like having relationships. Because, I mean, you know, how comfortable is each player with the protocols? Like, is this guy, because he doesn't, you know, have his normal routine, how's that going to affect him? Like, knowing all these different things. You're not going to be able to rest guys as much or have scheduled rest days.
No, every game is hugely important.
So if a player comes to you and says, I'm good, you got to trust that he's good. I can play. Okay. If you say you can play, then I got to trust that you can play. I think the level of excitement, once you get past all the garbage with the negotiations and everything else, and this thing, you know, hopefully does start because the testing still doesn't seem like it's where it needs to be, then 60 games is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah,
it's going to be exciting.
Yeah,
especially with the matchups we get. But just think about the matchups we get too. I mean, you got the NL East, which is loaded.
Four good teams.
Going up against each other, and then the AL East. I mean, you're going to get Mets Yankees. You're going to get Mets Red Sox. You get Mets Rays.
Did you see where you're going to get on September 11th, by the way? Mets Yankees.
Next year, yeah.
The 20th anniversary of September 11th.
You know what would have been cool, too? Mets Yankees is great. It would also be cool if you could incorporate somehow maybe doing like a game before the Mets Yankees game where it's, you know, Mets alumni against Braves alumni. You know, the game where Piazza hit that home run.
I see where you're going with that. Saying? Yeah, that would be kind of cool. It actually would be. Yeah.
Do like a couple innings, like get those guys. Like, wouldn't it be cool to see Piazza taking a bat?
That'd be great.
Yeah, because it was such a huge moment in the history of this country.
And if Major League Baseball, by the way, does not let them wear whatever they want to wear as far as NYPD, FDNY stuff,
they've
for that
stood
game,
in the way in the past.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they have. They've done that.
I know, but that better change.
You would think.
Oh, you would think. See, that, again, leads me to a great point, Dave, and I'm glad you brought that up. I had an epiphany last night.
Oh, nice.
With what's been going on. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm no longer going to assume that people are intelligent because I just get disappointed.
Well, I think a lot of people are not intelligent.
And I've come to that reality.
Yeah.
I'm just going to assume that everyone isn't very smart until you prove me otherwise.
So you have the bar set very low.
I'm going to set the bar very low. Very, very low.
I think that's a good way to operate, Rico. That way you don't set yourself up for disappointment.
But that's kind of sad.
What do you mean?
It's sad, but it's reality, man. I mean, it's
Dave,
how many more examples you need to see?
That's what I'm about to say, man. We call ourselves the best country in the world, and we got people arguing on whether or not they want to wear face coverings to fight against the pandemic.
Right.
That's
ridiculous. Which helps you and the other person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So think about that. I mean, do we need to point to anything else? I don't know why they call it common sense, because it doesn't feel like it's common.
It's not. They should call it uncommon sense.
So you have just set the bar very low, and anybody that does anything that's remotely decent, you're wowed and impressed by those people.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, common sense to me, it's a myth. It's a myth. It's something that's
like
not real.
Unicorn.
It's a unicorn. Yeah.
You going shopping today? By the way,
me no.
No, me no.
No, I'm not shopping. When do we have
shopping?
Mentally,
on the docket
I can't handle
this week?
It. I can't take it. Mentally, I just can't do it.
Thursday, Friday, you got to eat.
I got to eat. You know what I did, though? Smart, too. You know, making the pancake call last night, I pushed the list of dinners that we have scheduled.
Right,
back
so
at
you
the,
bought yourself another day.
I bought myself another day.
That's very well done. Right? I agree.
And carb loaded at the same time.
Very nice. Very nice.
Awesome.
Today on ESPN Daily, Major League Soccer is back with a tournament that starts tonight. The goal, to attract as many viewers as possible and kickstart the 2020 season. But there will be challenges, big challenges. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. 800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Calvin in Washington Heights. Calvin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. So shout out to the three of you guys. You're living my true career. Job, man, right now. So, you know, shout out to the three of you.
This is what you'd like to do for a career, Calvin?
For a living, of course, man. I could take it, even making half of what I make now for free. Not for free, but you know what I'm trying to say. I'll do it for half of my income right now. The point is, what I want to quickly say, the only team that I would think that the Yankees will give the Yankees competition, not saying they will beat the Yankees, but compete against them, to clarify my wording, the Tampa Bay Rays. They made improvements in their offensive lineup. They have the number one baseball prospect, which is Franco, the shortstop. He's going to be with Lindor, Gleyber Torres, Tatis Jr., and him. Those are going to be the best four shortstops in the game for the next 10 years. And last year, if we remember, by the way, the 60-game sprint plays an advantage for them because they start off with a reliever. That's another important fact that we should put off. And lastly, in the playoffs, they play the Houston Astros. Game 1 and 2, Houston won in their home field. Game 3 and 4, Tampa Bay won in their field. They went to Game 5. Guess who won? Houston. In whose field? Houston Astros. So what happens with that? It shows me that definitely Tampa Bay could compete. I honestly think that's the only team the Yankees should worry about. It's like the Dolphins and the Patriots. The Dolphins always give a run for the money of the Patriots, regardless.
Well, the Rays are good. I'm not comparing the Rays to the Dolphins. The Rays are a really good team, and I expect them to go to the postseason.
Correct. I agree with you. But what I'm trying to say is, regardless, is what the Rays are, that team that are basically the second-best team right now I see in the American League. And, people might
in the whole American League, you have them as the second-best team?
I honestly do. I think they could beat the Tampa Bay. I think they could beat Houston Astros. Houston got Verlander that's recovering from injury. And Gerrit Cole is now with the New York Yankees. And they made enough improvements in the offense that I honestly think that the only team that can beat, they can honestly beat the Houston Astros in a 5-game series. They proved it last year. Look, they didn't. If Houston wouldn't cheat, they would have won on. They would have gone on.
Tampa's good. Tampa is good. Tampa is good. And I think, people don't recognize Tampa or give them enough respect because, I mean, they're Tampa. I mean, they don't spend money and everything else. I mean, they're a smaller market team.
And they don't have wow you players.
No, they got some wow you player. I mean, Blake Snell's a wow you player.
Yes. He is, but I'm talking about an everyday player.
Austin Meadows is an everyday player. That's a wow you player. I mean, he's young, but he's progressing into, a borderline star. I mean, he's that good. They're a team that's built.
They're a pesky team.
I agree.
I'm a Yankee fan.
Well, no, they're not even.
But
that's
not a
even
team
pesky.
That doesn't back away from the Yankees. They don't. They're not intimidated by the mystique of the Pinstripes.
They play and good baseball. They play good fundamental baseball, and they got great starting pitching. They're a team that's built. Like, they're, remember when we had these conversations about, I mean, you just saw it with the Nationals, right, with their starting pitching. But go back to 2015 with the Mets. We said the entire time, just get this team into the playoffs. Find a way into the playoffs, and they're going to be a problem because of their starting pitching. When you that's Tampa right now. They play good fundamental baseball. They have just enough offense. And when you look at their starting staff, I mean, if assuming Tyler Glasnow was healthy.
Yeah, you put it up there with anybody.
Glasnow, Snell, Morton.
Yeah, forget
up there with anybody.
Yeah, you feel pretty
creative.
Good about that.
And there's no home field. I mean, Tampa doesn't have home field anyway. Let's be honest. No one shows up to those games anyway.
They'll be right at home this season.
Yeah, it's like nothing new.
Right, exactly.
It's like the Chargers playing with no fans. I mean, they're used to it.
The Yankees have 10 games in a 24-game stretch with the Tampa Bay Rays. To me, that's going to decide the AL East. I fully expect the Yankees to win it, but those games are going to be tough. I think it's between August 6th and September 2nd. That's going to decide the division.
Yeah. Yankees-Rays is a two-team race. Because, I mean, I actually think Toronto's going to be better than a lot expect.
Yeah, but
yeah,
they're,
young
they're
team
not
does
there
know better.
Yet, though, Dave. They're a year or two away. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I agree with you. But I'm saying if there were that third team that could compete, it would be Toronto. Because Baltimore is not going to be good.
No, Baltimore is not good. Especially, I mean, when you look at especially Gleyber Torres, the success he has against Baltimore. Judge has tremendous success against Baltimore. Now, Baltimore's not good, period.
No, they're not good. And
Boston's a 500 team this year.
Yeah, I don't expect big things from Boston this year.
Yeah.
How about Boston, too? You play them. The Yankees play them 7 times in New York and only 3 in Boston.
Love it.
How is that fair?
That's
what happens, man.
I know, and I'm just saying, how is that fair?
Dave, I don't care how it's not fair. I don't care about that. I don't care.
That's what you get for cheating, Dave.
I'm just going to thank the scheduling gods. I don't care.
We let you keep your championship.
Stop asking that question.
Let's go to Daniel in Jersey. What's up, Dan? You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How we doing this morning?
Good.
Good. So, Chris, I'm a Yankees fan, too. I kind of wanted to address the thing you said about the championship and how you would feel about it if they won that
Go
you
for
said
it.
In the last segment. So I think it's definitely I'm a Yankees fan too. And if the Yankees won this year, I'd be genuinely happy. And I definitely understand I think it's a same building, different views sort of thing. It's definitely a legitimate championship. You know, everybody's dealt the same cards. Everybody's kind of dealt, the same obstacles in a sense. It's just that, if you go back to 1942, the St. Louis Browns won. They were terrible for years. Like, I know Don had actually brought that up last week at some point. I think it's more of a same building, different views kind of thing. Let me know what you guys think.
No, I'm with you on that one. And everybody's probably going to feel a little bit differently about it. But I was just making the point that I don't look at it the same as I would a championship that's won in a 162-game regular season. Now, the competitive balance is there. Everybody's got to deal with the same type of adversity. But I guess I just look at it from the standpoint of, this being a very different baseball season in comparison to any other baseball season that we've ever seen. So it would feel a little bit different if they did want to win a championship. But I'm not gonna sit here and say that I'm not going to celebrate if they win. Of course I'm going to celebrate. But it's not going to feel like the championships that they won when I was in high school or early on in my college career. It's not going to feel the same.
I don't know. I think it would feel pretty good.
I didn't say it wouldn't feel good, Dave. I'm just saying that it wouldn't feel the same.
I don't know.
I got my Mets long ready.
World Series, I'd feel the same.
I would feel the exact same. I got Mets long ready. Rollerblades.
Mets haven't won a World Series since 86. Maybe it's because you see the World Series all the time.
Well, it hadn't been all the time.
Yeah, about to say, right?
Well, I mean, he's seen a lot more World Series than we've
seen.
Last
couple of years, it's been brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah, man. To lose the way that they've lost the last couple of years, and then the whole cheating thing to come out with the Astros and the Red Sox to know that we were that close but we didn't get there. What is it, Game 7 in 2017 down in Houston?
Competitive every year.
No, Dave, I'm not saying that they're. Dave, here's the thing: when you're closer and you don't get there, to me, that's more heartbreaking than if you don't have a chance to get into the tournament. Like, to me, that's even tougher. You think I worry about the years where my teams didn't make the playoffs, or do you think I lament the year that we were 13-3 and we had a divisional round playoff game against the New York Giants, and we beat them twice in the regular season, and we don't have a chance to advance, and they end up winning the Super Bowl.
Is that the worst loss of your career?
Which ones do you think stay with you as a player longer?
Yeah. Is that, that's the worst loss of your career?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's not even a number two there?
That was the worst loss I had in my career, Dave, just because from a talent standpoint, I believe that was the best team I was on in my career.
That was a good team.
Yeah. This is what happens, Dave. Yankees fan gets accustomed to nice things. Then all of a sudden, you know, can't he used to the Louis
Vuitton,
the Bentleys.
Come on, Rick, don't do that to me. Rick, back me up on this one, man. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not crazy.
I actually don't think he does. If the Mets win the World Series, he will have no difference.
No,
here's the difference. As a player, I understand what he's saying. As a player, those are the hardest losses. The ones he's talking about, you're so close and you don't get it done. I go back to, college, the game before the Frozen Four, we lost in four overtime. Still kills me to this day. You know, games like that kill you, but as a fan...
No, but I think as a fan, it's the same way. I mean, you think I was as upset last year watching the Giants as I was when they blew that lead to the Niners in 03? No.
No, you weren't. But there is something to be said about always being in the conversation every single year to win a championship. I mean, that's nothing to turn your nose down to. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not a nice luxury.
Yes, that is.
And we're not used to that.
But just the opposite.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's hard for me to put myself in you guys' shoes. That's hard for me to do.
But you don't want to put these shoes on.
No, I don't want to try them on. I don't want to try them on at all.
You don't want to try them on. You don't want to go anywhere.
I want to steer clear of those shoes. I'm not even going to go into that store to try
them. No.
I'm not even going to be anywhere near those.
We're rocking all those right now. Canty's got the Giuseppe's on. I got all those.
Yeah.
You guys keep those over in Queens, man.
You don't want these shoes. Let's go to Dennis in Long Island. Dennis, you're on 98.7.
Well, David, looks like my point of sitting Stanton for the year might have been actually smart after all, since the guy almost killed our number two starter last week.
Well, you blame Stanton.
Don't worry,
for the line drive.
Listen. Don't worry, Dave will steal that hot take soon. Hack Sparrow, he'll steal it.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
I know he's got it in his handy dandy hot take notebook.
Sounds like you're in a chopper, by the way, Dennis. Go ahead.
Maybe I am. you said that this title wouldn't really. I mean, you just say you'd be happy, but I mean, we've been to the World Series the same amount as the amazing Mets in the last 15 years, one time. So if we make it to the World Series, we win it, I'm going to act like it's 96 all over again, to be honest. And I mean, this 60-game sprint, we are built for it. I don't know why we just handed the Kansas over to the Mets. I guess it was just kind of like a gimme. Like, here, Mets, take something. Be a little
more. He's coming off an Achilles tear. I mean, that's you can get it a little bit. And your bullpen is stacked. You don't need all the best relievers.
Yeah.
We could take one of them.
Yeah, I guess you can have him. See how good he is.
I guess you can
see, this is the guy. This is exactly why the Mets fan can't stand the Yankees fan.
No, but at least he'll celebrate the championship. I mean, there's no shame in his game. He'll celebrate the championship and his chopper.
Well, he should.
It's not like you're in a chopper.
Again, I never said I wouldn't celebrate a championship. Of course I would celebrate a championship. Of course I would. But all I was simply saying was, in terms of the championships that I've seen in my lifetime, the late 90s and early 2000s, 2009, it wouldn't be the same. Like, I wouldn't look at it the same. But I never said I wouldn't celebrate it.
This comes as no surprise to me, David. No surprise.
I'd celebrate it like it was 86.
Canty for Thanksgiving. Would you like a roasted turkey? No. I'm going to need a fried turkey. Okay, Chris, I'll go to the store and get a fryer. You have a fried turkey. You gotta know your teammates.
I appreciate
Dave.
The effort that you put in, though. I appreciate that.
That
I'm
was
a little
very
bit of a
nice.
Food snob. I appreciate it.
I respect that.
It's Thanksgiving, man. It's a celebration. Yeah. Celebration. I may have a Thanksgiving. I actually may
You're
decide
have a
if this continues.
This summer.
I may have a summer Thanksgiving.
You're not
going to
have a summer Thanksgiving.
I think we need it. Rico, I absolutely think we need it. A summer Thanksgiving.
Kick off the sports. August 1st. When the mayhem begins with sports, fingers crossed.
We're going to have everything August 1st.
A little Thanksgiving.
I don't know if we're going to have everything, Dave, from the sound of things with the National Football League. Did you hear about that? That bombshell that Palacero dropped last night?
Yeah, we'll get into that in the 11 o'clock hour. I did.
Yeah.
I did. I got that earmarked for right off the top of the 11 o'clock hour. But
now, I'm hoping now, fingers crossed, that we have all the sports going
well,
on.
Well, we could have baseball, we could have basketball, and we could have hockey all during his summer Thanksgiving feast on August 1.
We could.
Yeah.
We could.
I'm telling you, these leagues, there is so much money involved. These leagues are going to push through it unless, God forbid, someone gets sick to a point where they're on a ventilator or they pass away.
What time would the tryptophan have you asleep on summer Thanksgiving?
Well, no, that would be, I mean, there'd be an afternoon nap, as usual, an afternoon nap. Or if Canty's over, I get so banged up, I pass out. It's not even sleeping, it's just passing out. No, I would probably, I mean, start off early, probably have the appies around noon, take a little nap. No, I'd be good to go. I haven't had
7:30.
I have not had one adult beverage this entire time. Not
really?
One, not one
not
single,
one?
Not a drop.
In no. 5 months?
Not one single drop. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
That is amazing.
Is that, every time is I that like a concerted the... effort?
Or no, I just haven't done it. Just haven't done it. Every day I walk by the wine first, I'm like, oh, maybe I should. Nah, you know what?
You're right, though. It doesn't really feel like there's a need to celebrate, right?
Well, there's
no, I'd be
celebrate.
Doing it just to put myself asleep, but I have no problem falling asleep.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if I was drinking wine, what time I'd be in bed? You guys would be guessing 7:15, thinking it was early. I'd be like, nope, 4:45.
Yeah, no. What time's the earliest you've ever, not being sick, that you've ever just, like you do nowadays, gotten into bed and gone to sleep? Like the
that's
fives?
A great question. Yeah, in the fives.
You got, oh, my goodness.
That was depression, though. I mean, that was sometimes during the season. Like, if I came home from practice, coming off a couple bad games, like, that would just be like, I can't, I'm just going to bed. I'm
just go to bed, tomorrow's got to be better.
Yeah, I'm disgusted. Yeah, like, there's nothing to achieve here.
I've been there.
But when you get up at five, aren't you up for the day at, like, 2?
Yeah, I mean, you force yourself back to sleep. I mean, you go to bed at 5, you're waking up probably around midnight. Like, is it time to wake up? Think, now I got to shut this thing back down. No, it's early. 3:30, 4 o'clock-ish probably. But it's a new day. The best part of that's a new day.
That's
can't
right.
get worse.
You flip the calendar to the next day.
Yeah, this day's got to end. I like to, listen, to be all honest, to be completely honest, I'd like to pull a Rip Van Winkle right now and fall asleep and wake up in 2021.
Would you take that right now?
Yes.
If I said you can go to bed right now and wake up be February 1st, you would do it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bring me right into Groundhog Day. Which
not,
would, that
up,
would be actually ironic.
Months.
That would be ironic if you made me wake up on Groundhog Day.
On Groundhog Day? You go back to bed.
Go back to bed.
No,
nope.
I don't want any of this.
What do you think, Punxsutawney? No, not done yet. No, go back
I'm
to
done.
Sleep.
Go right back to sleep. Punxsutawney, you got a vaccine for this thing? No? All right. We'll see you in June.
You know what's amazing, though? It's unbelievable, dude. It's like everyone trying to figure this thing out. You know, when's it going to be a vaccine? You have, a company just gets $1.6 billion. There's the amount of opinions from credible sources, like MDs, is so all over the place. It's amazing. This is just the beginning. We're going to be social distancing for the next 2 years. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy, man. It really is, and I think it's dangerous because folks don't know who to listen to, and you got people doing different things, and nobody doesn't feel like everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction. And I truly feel like in the tri-state area early on, that's how we were able to get past it and get on the other side of the curve. Because we had good leadership, and Governor Cuomo and Governor Murphy, everybody decided that, this is what we're going to do to try to help the medical professionals, our healthcare infrastructure. Like, this is what we have to do. And it worked. And so I just feel like we're in a time and space where people need to pay attention to what we've done in the tri-state area in order to get the country back on track. Just seems like that would be the right thing to do. We actually have evidence of the precautions working in the tri-state area. Well, I don't understand why other people can't see that.
A lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people look at it and throw a blind
well, clearly,
eye and say it's not legit.
I mean, Joe West said it yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah.
Joe West said, I don't think the 130,000 reported coronavirus deaths, I don't think that those people actually died from coronavirus.
But like, that's
they
what's
just
so
don't believe it.
But that sentiment is what's so dangerous to Major League Baseball and the NFL right now, for them to have seasons that they finish. Is that mindset
with players and coaches that think like that?
Yeah, I mean that's it because you're trusting those. You're not in a bubble, so you're trusting that everyone's going to do the right thing and not bring
and
it back.
And you know
into the
that's not the case. You said it before that nobody has common sense. You assume they don't have common sense. So how?
Well, which is a scary proposition.
It's terrifying.
I mean, on top of it, I mean I don't know how at this point you trust the testing. I mean, when you see some of these stories, I mean, first of all, I mean, just put aside the July 4th and not having people there and testing, just the fact, like, I mean. This Joey Gallo situation is crazy, man. He tests positive, then he tests negative, then he tests positive, and he just tests negative again.
Yep.
What is it?
Yeah, we have no idea.
And then you have what's going on with MLS. Is you got games being, delayed. You got the one team, you got FC Dallas having to pull out. They're in the bubble, and you still get positive tests.
Yeah, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, and we go to Andy in Merrick with his questions of the day. Andy, you're up.
Good morning, DCR. It is a happy hockey hump day. Going to set each of you up with a one-timer, and then, of course, the bonus question.
All righty.
All right.
Starting with my misguided Ranger fan, Christopher.
Wow.
Only three Rangers have ever recorded a 50-goal season. Can you name any one of them?
Three Rangers to record a 50-game season.
50-goal season. Goal.
50-goal season.
Okay. Just name one.
All right. Let me see here. What do we got?
I guarantee Dave knows this.
I mean, come on. It was the Stanley Cup season. Of course I know it.
Fugazi.
One of the nicest guys in hockey.
I'm going to go with Jágr.
Jágr is correct. Give him the bell. There you go. Also, Adam Graves, as Dave was referencing, and Vic Hatfield.
Okay. Adam Graves could be one of the nicest people you ever met in your life.
Yeah, that's what I said. Unbelievable.
Which is counterintuitive to his last name, to Graves. Adam Graves. You think it'd be like a kind of a dark personality. He's a killer. That Graves is a killer.
Rico, we got an Islander question
for
you.
All right, my man, let's go.
Of course you do. Why don't we give him a layup here? Go ahead.
Hall of Famer is the Islanders' all-time plus-minus leader at 467.
Ooh. Oh, plus-minus, such a bad stat, really.
Why is it a bad stat?
I don't know. Like, most guys don't really love the plus-minus stat. Best plus-minus for the New York Islanders.
Did he ever coach in the league?
Yeah, he could be the nicest guy, too. One of the nicest guys. This has got to be Trotz.
Number 19 is correct.
Yeah. On par. I like where you're going here. But great guys. Also, tons of success. Trottier, Graves. Nice.
Brian Trottier just plus 11 more than the great Dennis Potvin. Yeah. All right, David. No New Jersey Devil has ever recorded 100 points in a season. Can you tell me who holds their team record with 96 points in the year 2000-2001?
Come on, Dave.
Rick, you must know this. I
do,
imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2000-2001.
You can do it.
I don't know that I can.
Come on.
Well, you're pressuring me. I don't know that it's something I'm capable of.
They also have a bureau. They also have a bureau. If you're looking for some stats and info.
All right, Patrick Elias.
Patrick Elias, yes.
My man.
An assist from DiPietro. All right, boys, here's your bonus question. I know, Rick, you don't like plus-minus, but what Hall of Famer holds the plus-minus record of 124 in a single season?
No way. In a season?
124 in a single season.
Oh, my God. It's got to be Bobby Orr, right?
It's got to be Bobby Orr is right. Larry Robinson 120, Bobby Orr 124.
That is crazy.
Guys,
Bobby Orr, if anyone listening is a big hockey fan and hasn't had an opportunity, you got plenty of time now. Just go back and check out some of Bobby Orr's highlights. Like, you talk about a guy who just like playing at a different level than everyone else.
Change the game.
Thank you, Andy.
DCR. Guys, as always, stay safe.
Bobby Orr would kill penalties by himself. Like Bobby Orr
he would just skate around the ice, right?
Yeah, Bobby Orr would take the puck and then he would just skate around the ice,
and you couldn't stop him for 2 minutes
and play keep away. Yeah, it was insane. Like that would be an interesting topic one day. Like athletes that dealt with injuries that were kind of took away from.
Oh, he's got to be right up there.
And he used to be my agent. Like just a simple arthroscopic surgery would have, at the time, just saved his career, but
yep,
wasn't available.
Yeah. I wonder if Bo Jackson would have, like nowadays, would have been able to come back from that.
I don't know, Dave. Hip injury?
Yeah.
Tua came back. I mean, it's all just, again, it's how it's initially treated, right? The fact that they got Tua's hip back in place means that the blood flow continued.
Just think about Gale Sayers, though. An ACL.
Oh, Gale Sayers would have come back.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How routine is an ACL reconstruction?
Yeah.
You had Adrian Peterson come back after, what, 9 months?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Ray Emery goalie, he came back.
I don't know how Adrian Peterson is still doing it. I have no idea.
And he's still running.
I have no idea how he's still doing it.
It really is incredible.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.